together as we worship Jesus. Well, this morning we are continuing thinking in our series on Proverbs about choices and about discipline. We gather, whether we're here or at home, we gather on a Sunday morning because we choose to respond to the call of God to worship Him. It's a choice we make together weekly, a choice to make daily, a choice to make whatever the week or the day brings. And we gather because we want to hear the Lord speak to us, to challenge us, to shape us in our choices so that they might be of Him. So as we begin, we hear these words from Psalm 25. Let me read them. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour. And my hope is in you all day long. We're going to sing together. We're going to sing a couple of songs. The first is a new one. So maybe we'll just stay seated if you're here and listen to Wally and Amy sing it. Although if you know it, do join in and sing along with them. It's called I Choose to Worship. And the second we'll just move straight into. And as it begins, we'll stand and sing together if you're here. Speak, O Lord.
Here in the conflict, where Let's pray together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, our Savior, Holy Spirit, we come to worship you, to declare that you are God, our God, the only true God. We come to do what we are made to do. You alone are worthy of our praise. You alone have the words of eternal life. You alone are the one who knows us inside out. You alone have shown us true love, Jesus, in giving your life for us. So you alone are the one in whom we put our hope. And we come because no matter how life is for us today, we need you. We choose to worship. And yet, Lord, we come conscious of some of the foolish choices we've made this week. Familiar temptations we've given into. Wrong thoughts we've more than entertained. Quick words we've said without listening or thinking. Times we've just been thoughtless. Father, forgive our self-centeredness and our complacency. How we thank you that our hope is in you, Jesus, and not ourselves. And that your grace more than meets our sin, removes its stain and guilt as far as the east is from the west. The Holy Spirit, as we gather, as you point us again to Jesus and that redeeming love, renew our love and our faith and our commitment to you and with each other. Help us to grow together as we meet together. Give us humility, maturity, unity as your people, and a passion to live for you today and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was lovely to have here yesterday the wedding of Johnny and Bethany McClune. I don't know, have we got a picture? Gavin, is that the hand? People can see. If you haven't, there we are. There they are. The first ever photo of them as a married couple. Here we were, and it was at a full church worshiping and celebrating. And it was lovely to have. If you want, you can still watch it on the YouTube channel. And we wish and we pray for Johnny and Bethany, every blessing in their life together. And also, I want to thank all those who worked and who work every week. Derek, along with Alistair and Roy and Nigel came to help too, and others who then changed the church from looking as glorious it was yesterday to looking glorious but different today, and all the moving around. And thank you so much for all those who do all that work. Looking ahead this afternoon, a quick reminder, Songs of Praise. I don't know whether you normally watch that or not, but it's on at 1:15 and it's been filmed in Union Theological College. It was filmed a couple of weeks ago. It marks the 100th anniversary of Northern Ireland. It features Professor Gordon Campbell. On the piano, Gordon? No, just speaking. Although I did read that Daniel O'Donnell is singing, so I just didn't know if Gordon, there was a little duet going on there. But you can watch that at 1:15, watch it after or during your lunch there. On Wednesday, there's not quite a Wednesday prayer video. We'll actually have a live interview with Heather on Zoom. It's the usual Zoom details for our prayer gathering at 7:30. So do come this Wednesday and join us. It's not going to be recorded or put up later on the web, so it's a kind of one-moment opportunity. But that'll give Heather actually a chance to speak more freely than she might if it had been recorded and left on YouTube or the website. Undoubtedly, you've seen the news and prayer slides and know the situation in India. Come on Wednesday night on Zoom. And just to say, this coming week, I'm hoping to take the days as some study days and keep maybe a slightly lower profile Monday to Friday. So if you need me, I'll still be available for pastoral emergencies, but I may not respond to other messages or emails or the phone otherwise during those days or as quickly as you might hope. But I'll be about, and I'll be about next Sunday, and that marks the start of Christian Aid Week, which Ian Mullen is going to come and tell us a little something about. Ian.
Good morning. I wonder how many of you, like me, love watching BBC documentaries about natural history and the world that we live in. I absolutely love them. I have to say the BBC are exceptionally good at it. But some, I think, that have been very, very, very concerning in recent times have talked about climate change and what we're doing to our planet. And maybe, in some ways, time is limited in terms of what we can do. And as Christians, we're meant to be good stewards of the planet that we live in. The impacts are clear that we all know about: rising maximum temperatures, rising minimum temperatures, melting glaciers, raising sea levels, increased heat, increased drought. We've seen the impact on our own lives here in this part of the world, but in less advantaged parts of the world, can I suggest the impact already has been made much, much greater. Decline in water supplies, reduced agricultural yield, and decline in impact on their health. I'd like to show you a wee video this morning, if you don't mind, which looks at a lady called Florence, and Florence lives in a place where they're starting to see the impacts in a very, very big way. But I think that Florence is a really inspirational lady. As you can see, she loves singing, she loves dancing, she's been through a lot of adversity, but she always keeps a smile on her face. Gavin, thank you.
Kwa masita ndita Florence, mbona mudhiani. Ndienda ako thata, nenda kuina, uthato ningeni na wangoni. Ni kuitu kwa netha wanjeshi la ukofu, na kuitu wanjeshi la ukofu ni makuina. Na hina na manye kuina kumata na yini na kuina. I Kini ngai ya ndethe sia o ina kwati evina adimo ye ya e ne wadimo ngwa kidina nimbeza nguko ya kwendo ya yana yanywa kibu nionite ngaumi mbeza isupo ngetha niwe ni muthanga u kona wataka ndu cha kunu wa muyo tusukuma tu nonye bae no be kibeti ina mutezi didi nyongo ene Asinde desia. Nyindu matungi amuvea kiasi wanga ya meke nesa angiasia pavumbe susi na umie wanga ye ongelele vo Give away a siaka seeker and a move of Colassi and give away a mua. You and with a clamor to a quarto kind
I'm sure you'll agree with me that she's a very inspirational lady, and I certainly enjoyed watching it. And hopefully this year, as part of our Christian Aid Week, we can help people like Florence in their community to raise money for their water projects. It may be of interest to you to know just how far your money could go. If we were to raise only £20, we could build 4 taps for dams like that, which would allow families to go and get water. No water would be wasted, and they'd be able to use their water to support their families in whatever way they can. For £60, 10 bags of cement can be bought, and that would allow a community to build a dam and be able to do what we've just seen in the video. And for £325, they could train a whole community to run it in a very efficient manner and to ensure that there's no water loss and that it's run in a way that is for the good of the whole community. I think those amounts of money are very, very modest. So what can we do, and indeed the whole community here in the United Kingdom do, as a Christian community, to help those people? Well, I'm going to suggest here in Northern Ireland we can do a number of things. We're not going to do door-to-door collections this year. I know some churches are, but I had a chat with Ben, and perhaps we're not ready for that here in Saintfrey Road. But what I'm going to encourage everybody to do is to do a sponsored walk. I'm going to go with my son Matthew up to Slieve Donard during Christian Aid Week from the 10th to 16th. Go and leave some forms out here, and perhaps you could do your own sponsored walk. You saw that lady walks 6 hours every day. I suggest I can get up and down Slieve Donard just about in under 6 hours. You could do a walk too. It doesn't have to be Slieve Donard. It could be around your house, like Captain Tom Moore. It could be down at the footpath from Greensport to Donaghadee. It could be down in Beaver Forest Park, whatever you fancy. The distance is not important. Where you do it is not important. It's just to think about other people. So perhaps you could do that. We'll put out the forms this week, and come next week also, I'm going to have envelopes which you can put money in. And hopefully, if you pay tax to the UK government, you could fill in a wee form as well. Walking may not be your thing, and that's fine. But it was lovely come Friday there that we were able to ease up restrictions in the country, and I'm sure some of you were out enjoying a cup of coffee and a tray bake in one of the local coffee shops. Perhaps if that's your thing, why don't you just maybe have your own coffee morning at home, you and your family, get a couple of tray bakes at Tesco or whatever they may be, sit down, have a cup of coffee at home, and put the money that you'd save into to Christian Aid. Those things are very, very practical, and hopefully we can raise money to support people like that. Beyond all that, I actually believe the things we can do, most of all, are even more than financial. I believe we can very much pray about this. Christian Aid's been going for 75 years, and they've been doing a lot of things that people maybe thought at the time were pure pipe dreams. For example, standing up against apartheid and stalking fur trade. I believe we can genuinely do something. Later this year, there's a big conference where they're going to look at the climate negotiations in November. I think it's a really crucial conference for the future of our world. And as Christians, we're called to be good stewards in our world. Please join me this week, 10th to the 16th of May. Hopefully you can do something to support communities such as Florence's. Thank you. God bless.
Ian, thanks so much, and thanks for keeping Christian Aid at the forefront of our minds there. We're going to move from brother to sister, and Alison is going to come and read to us from Proverbs 4 and 9. Thank you.
The first passage is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 to 19. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And moving to Proverbs 9, verses 1 to 18. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman's folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Amen.
Thanks, Alison. Let's just pause and pray together for a moment, shall we? Father God, thank you that you speak to us and reveal your wisdom by your Spirit. Help us to listen to you. Help us to hold on to your teaching. Help us to apply it to our lives. That the glory may go to you. Lord, lead us now by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what words of wisdom you remember or hold on to that have been passed down to you. I wonder if there's any things that you remember, perhaps your parents or older people saying to you and passing down to you that have stuck with you. Johnny was looking on Facebook the other day for any of these gems of wisdom, and people gave him some great answers. Here are a few. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Always keep a packet of bacon in the fridge. If you break your leg doing that, don't come running to me. Don't worry what others are thinking of you. They're too busy thinking of themselves. Never tie your shoelace in a revolving door. There's a gem. I remember one of my mum's lines that she used to say to us was very simply but profoundly this: life is made up of choices. If she's watching, and she sometimes does, she'll be smiling now, I'm also saying, it's true, Ben, it's true, my dear, she'll say. Life is made up of choices, big and small, every day. And wisdom, as we have said in these past weeks, is the ability to make good, or better, actually, godly choices. Proverbs pictures the King, the Lord, our Father, who wants to pass on wisdom to us that we may make godly choices. It all begins, as we've said, with the choice that everyone faces and the response that we all need to make. To fear, to recognize and revere the Lord. To come to Jesus Christ as King, the one who made us in this world, who is the very wisdom of God and who alone offers true life. Find life in Jesus and receive his Spirit of life and wisdom. But being a disciple doesn't end at the moment of decision to follow. Much like being a child doesn't end at birth. The Father wants us to live more and more in the ways of his Son. He wants to guide us in the best ways to live, to listen to what he has to say here, take it up in here, in our hearts, our wills, our emotions, that we may love his wisdom. And to apply it and keep putting it into practice, developing godly character, making godly choices in what we think and say and do. So as the Father sits us down to listen in these opening chapters of Proverbs, he wants us to think about the choices of life. And he gives us two pictures. There are two pictures we heard in the passages that Alison read for us. Proverbs 4 pictures two paths. There's the, let's call it the route of righteousness. The right way to go. Straight paths, well lit and bright, pleasant and solid, underfoot. Not a path that will cause you to stumble, but that will lead to true and lasting life. Then he says there's, well, the way of the wicked. The wrong way to go. Paths that deviate and are crooked. Paths that are enticing, but draining. Ways that cause you to stumble and fall, leading deeper into darkness and death. So the Father sets before us two paths, two ways to live, or perhaps more accurately, a way to live and a way to die. He urges us to think about the paths we're taking and to avoid the wrong paths at all costs. And you see, not only does this challenge anyone about choosing life with Jesus rather than death without him, but the Father's speaking about living out a life following the Lord, not just picking the right path to begin with, but sticking on the straight paths, continually choosing to head in the right direction that leads us to life, not being waylaid down the wrong paths. Well, that's the first picture, but Proverbs is not just a book about paths, as though it were a kind of ordnance survey guide. Proverbs gets a little bit racier than that. As these early chapters move on, the talks about paths get somewhat overtaken by the talk of two women and the paths that lead to and from their houses. The father is speaking to the son not just about finding the right path, but about finding the right woman. Now there is a father-son discussion for you. One of the big subjects the father brings up is faithfulness and, conversely, adultery. It's a big issue in and of itself, but more than that, there's a picture, here's a metaphor, actually, of whether the son is going to stay faithful to wisdom or be seduced by folly, foolishness. So at the end of these introductory chapters, here in chapter 9, we're presented with two women, Lady Wisdom, Madam Folly, both calling out in the public square, both inviting the simple to come and eat with them. Lady Wisdom, she offers meat and spiced wine in a fine house. No suggestion that wisdom means a dull or deprived or oppressed or joyless life, though it is undeniably a life of ongoing learning and instruction and training of discipline. And again, the heart of her message is that fundamental relationship. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yet with her, there is the promise of lasting life and reward. Then there's Madam Folly, and her voice is loud. You can't miss hearing her. Stop, she says. Let me just waylay you for a moment from that straight path you're on. Let's not worry about discipline. I've got something sweet and delicious we can enjoy. Little do those who are tempted appreciate it as they head towards her. But if you get caught up with Madam Folly, it's deadly. So there are two fascinating, telling, evocative pictures, aren't they? We're given in Proverbs about the choices we face. Let me draw out some implications from them for us. And the first is this, that very simply, we have choices to make. And we have the power to make those choices. Life is made up of choices, as my mum would say. And in living life for Jesus, we have choices to make. Wisdom is pictured in Proverbs 8 as standing at the crossroads, calling us to choose the right path. Now, sometimes choices in life are easy, aren't they? And they don't matter much or require much thinking. Will I buy the red one or the green one? Will I get the Mars bar or the Snickers? And sometimes choices are difficult. Because life isn't all black and white, and it can be quite complex. And we need to seek greater wisdom for things. And sometimes choices are difficult because, well, we know what to do, just don't want to do it. Maybe the choice is that we don't really need either the Mars bar or the Snickers. Or that it doesn't matter which option, green or red, but it does matter that we decide and move on. But know this, we always have a choice to make and the opportunity to make a wise choice. The Father promises that he will instruct in the way of wisdom and lead us on straight paths. So there's never a situation where there isn't a wise choice to make, even though it may be a difficult choice to make or a hard one for us to see. And we have the power to make those choices. The Father urges us not to choose the wrong way, but to continue on the right way. Now, he knows we're simple and weak, but at the same time, he clearly thinks that with wisdom, we can choose. As children of the Father through Jesus, we have, as we've said, the spirit of wisdom in us. Paul says, the incomparably great power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you and me. So we have the power and ability to make wise choices and follow them through all the time. At no point are we constrained to do the wrong thing, or powerless to do something that's wise and right, however difficult or courageous that might be. The right path is open. Now, we don't always choose it, but we can. And as we live with the Lord Jesus, We have choices to make and the power to make those choices. But secondly, the big thing for us is this. The reason we don't always make the wise choices is that although sin doesn't have the power to make us choose, it's still very much a clear and present danger. And foolish choices call out loudly and seem very attractive, don't they? Hear what she says in chapter 7. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. Foolish choices often seem very attractive, and secret pleasure makes us feel special. Perhaps where we don't feel special. It gives us excitement, perhaps where life seems dull. It makes us feel maybe wild and free where we've been constrained under discipline. No strings attached is the promise that there won't be any consequence to fear. Sexual gratification without consequences to you or anybody else. Talking freely about anything and anyone without consequences of anyone hearing or getting hurt. Indulgence in the glut of what you fancy without consequences to your body or mind or emotional state. Ignoring responsibilities without a consequence of being discovered or blamed. Getting richer without the consequence of having to work for it as you gamble without the fear of what may result. Our world of screens and social media and increased communication and personalized ads and shelves of options and everything on demand at the push of an easy button seems to enable Madame Folly to shout more loudly than ever, deductively, persuasively, powerfully, personally to us, come, enjoy life, take pleasure, feel special, excited, free, get in on the secret, and there's no need to worry about the consequences. Consequences? What consequences? Thirdly, the choices we make have consequences. Of course, just as some choices don't matter, their consequences are pretty indifferent, aren't they? Whether you bought the green one or the red one, the Snickers or the Mars bar, that's pretty negligible. Although an increasing habit of buying things or eating food you don't need may have a bigger consequence. But here's Proverbs' outlook on consequences, verse 12 of chapter 9. If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, someone who ignores the issue of consequences, well, you alone will suffer. Wise choices may not lead to instant gratification, but that's far outweighed by lasting pleasure, says Proverbs. Life with Lady Wisdom is rewarding, ultimately, and rich and restful and enjoyable. Foolish choices do take us the other way. The thing is, foolish choices here or there don't necessarily lead to instant bad outcomes, do they? We said that wisdom wasn't about guaranteed outcomes. So often we might appear to get away with the choices we make. There were no consequences when I did that. That only makes us more foolish to do it again, to risk more, to be blind to what it's doing to us or others. What does the advert say? When the fun stops, stop. If only it were so easy, eh? We go on ignoring the deadly nature of what's behind the seduction and how it's deadening us. Our world is increasingly full of pornography. So glossy and appealing, especially to men, to make them feel special and excited with the promise of no strings attached. But actually, behind the scenes, a grim and murky world of hurt and shame and abuse that draws men in and leaves them desensitized in their own thoughts and relationships, wrecks their view of women and themselves, leaves them isolated and guilty, deadens relationships with Jesus. Gossip, the secret conversation that you feel special to be a part of, and is actually quite funny, but that corrupts your view of the person you're talking about, changes your view of the people you're talking with. I mean, how do you talk about them? Do they talk like that about you behind your back? Deadens you inside as you become much quicker to judge on little evidence, quicker to be so dismissive of people made in the image of God. Listen, we could go on in so many areas and choices of life, and perhaps where the attractive secrecy of feeling special, of being part of something exciting, that actually leads to be a burdensome secret kept inside. As we look further at Proverbs in the coming weeks, it'll explore various areas and choices of life for us. But I don't raise these matters for us to stew in our secret guilt. Not at all. Proverbs points to Jesus, in whom we can find forgiveness, not condemnation. Proverbs offers us a better hope and path in Christ. There's always a way to leave the dark path, no matter how far down. Proverbs doesn't promise an instant answer, maybe rather a lifelong path of daily forgiveness and daily seeking the wisdom and strength to choose well, but it offers forgiveness and hope. The challenge before us, though, is about the trajectory of our lives. To think about the path we're taking, the voice we're listening to. One of self-control by the power of God's Spirit, or of self-indulgence. Let's hear the Father saying to us, if you're making foolish choices, they do have consequences. If you carry on down that path, it will only get darker. So think about the path you're taking and choose wisdom, choose life. So lastly, we're encouraged to take wisdom and discipline seriously. Being wise is not an added extra or bonus to the Christian life, but something the Father urges us to take seriously. Stay away from doing things as Christians we know aren't wise. If you appreciate that it's not wise dating who you are dating, then why carry on down that path? Don't be blind to the consequences. If people are leading you into unhelpful conversations, stay away from them, both the people and the chat. If you're watching programs on TV that lead your thinking astray, or your language astray, or your sleep patterns astray, is that wise? Take seriously the consequences of what you're putting in front of your eyes and what you're letting into your ears. How often do we reflect on what we're spending our money on? How our spending patterns affect our desire for things, our giving of money to people who need it more? Our view of wealth as ours, as opposed to God's. Proverbs is more than just giving us wisdom for individual choices we make. It's training in good patterns of living, good paths to stick on, good habits to form. It's training in discipline. So the Father says in verse 13, hold on to discipline. Don't let it go. Guard it well, for it's your life. Be someone who holds on to wise teaching and puts it into practice. Discipline is not the harsh, negative punishment or the repressive regime. Discipline is positively what disciples do. They take the words of the Lord seriously and put them into practice, like the athlete who goes through discipline training to make them a better, faster runner. Yeah, it's self-sacrificial and hard at times, but it's a positive, intentional outlook. Disciples engage in regular instruction, time to think through and apply it, the forming of habits to live as their Lord calls them to. And I guess the opposite of discipline is complacency. When we think we're doing fine, meandering along, calling ourselves Christians, agreeing with all the right things, but not putting anything into practice, we think, hey, you know, I'm even standing here teaching about these things. I must be okay. But am I really being bothered to take this wisdom on board? Downloading Bible reading apps and plans isn't the same as actually reading them and reflecting on them and putting them into practice. Proverbs 1:32 says, the complacency of fools will destroy them. We've been talking a bit as a session, as leaders, about our vision as a church, and discipleship has come up lots. The language of being intentional, not being complacent. Of disciple-making, God working in us to make us as disciples and us helping each other to be disciples. Of the need for others being disciples together. As iron sharpens iron, So one person sharpens another, says Proverbs. And here's a little picture of one of our life groups maybe a year ago during lockdown, iron sharpening iron. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise later in life. Well, how does all of this challenge us about our own discipline as disciples and what we might put into practice? Perhaps it's about the daily asking of God for wisdom and strength for the day, especially if you know that difficult decisions or tempting situations are going to come your way. Perhaps it's about putting things or people in place to help you avoid foolish choices or to help you grow in wisdom, like life groups. Perhaps it's the developing of a good habit of listening to wisdom. So as we finish, let me propose something that we might all engage in as disciples together in the coming weeks. This Proverbs book that life groups are using and you may pick up has a six-week reading plan, 6 days every week for 6 weeks for Proverbs 10:29, just 15, 20 verses a day. I've got money to copy it out with a little prayer at the top there, and you should have one on the chairs for each household. It's also available on the website, so you can download it, and if you're coming next week, there'll be copies here too. So I reckon we could start from a week on Monday, next Monday, after I've spoken on the last chapter of Proverbs next Sunday, and after we've got a week to get hold of it. And it'll take us through lots of the different wise sayings that we'll draw in from coming Sundays. So each day, simply what you do is there's a prayer to pray and read the verses. And just take some time to reflect on what particularly struck you, what it encourages you to put into practice, maybe that day or that week. And together we can all be doing it, as individuals, as life groups, but as a church family together, disciples together. And feel free each week to ask people, what was your favorite proverb? What struck you this week? As we do, may it be a way that God grants us, as disciples, his family together, wisdom and discipline for living life for him. We're going to reflect on these things as we stay seated and sing together prayerfully, Purify My Heart.
Pleasure.
Let's continue in prayer. Let's pray. Lord of all wisdom, we pray for ourselves that you would purify our hearts, that you would remind us today and every day of your forgiveness and your power at work in us. Help us to hear what you're saying to us about our lives. Lead us in your discipline that we may make godly choices, choosing to be holy. Help us to help each other in our journey together as disciples. Lord of all wisdom, we pray for those around us in our church family and community. We thank you for the marriage of Johnny and Bethany and the joyful celebration we had yesterday. We pray for them as they begin married life together. Enrich their love with your wisdom and with even deeper faith and hope. Bless them that they may be a blessing to others in your name. We pray for young people facing periods of assessment in school and teachers engaged in this work. We thank you so much for the gift of education. Give us the wisdom neither to take it for granted nor make it an idol. Help those who are finding this time stressful to find strength and rest, true peace and purpose in you. Lord, we're thankful for those who have recovered from ill health and from spending time in hospital and are back home. We rejoice with those who rejoice. But we stand with those who are struggling. And we bring to you, Lord, those we know who are suffering for the health of their body, mind, and indeed soul, and those who are caring for them. We ask for your presence and power to be felt closely with those we silently name before you. Lord of all wisdom, we pray for wisdom and good choices in our government and leadership. As we mark 100 years of Northern Ireland and approach another period of change in the leadership of this country, we're thankful for the commitment of those who have and those who continue to serve in public office with all the sacrifice it brings. And we continue to pray in your mercy for leadership that seeks the welfare of all people. Leadership that is strong and gracious and humble, that seeks wisdom and protects the vulnerable and enables people across Northern Ireland to thrive in the best ways. Lord of all wisdom, we pray for our world. As we reflect on the continuing effect of this global pandemic, we're thankful for the healthcare services and vaccination program that we have benefited from, and the times we're now able to enjoy together more. We are mindful, however, as we've reflected, that you do not call us to complacency, but to lives lived wisely for the good of all. And so we're also mindful of the worsening effects on other places around our world. We hear of emergency measures in Tokyo, and we also remember the Timothys in Japan, asking that you would give them energy and strength as they give so much of themselves to sharing the gospel with people who do not know you. We hear of a third wave in Kenya, and we pray for the Mwangis and with iServe as they seek to find new ways of delivering transformed now it can't be in person. And we pray that you would hold them even as they desire to visit the UK but come to terms with that still being an unknown time. We also pray in these 30 days during Ramadan for an openness among Muslims in Nairobi to talking about faith, and for Nairobi Christians to be bold in their witness, prepared to talk with their Muslim neighbors about their experience of you, Jesus. And Lord, we pray for those suffering in India. We hear it on the news and from those we know. We pray for mercy for that country as numbers of infections and of those dying seems to rise so high. Strengthen and equip hospitals and all who work in them as they feel the pressure. We thank you for supplies that have come from elsewhere. We pray for the government in India to act wisely too. We remember the children in the Lighthouse Academy in the home, reaching hand, among millions whose lives are affected. Protect them and enable them to keep living and learning with hope. Lord of all wisdom, we know and trust that you are God and you are sovereign. Mountains bow down and seas roar at the sound of your name. But hear our prayers in Jesus' name, and may we see your Spirit at work in us and in your world for your glory. Amen. Wally.
As we come to draw our worship to a close today, this song would be normally one we'd probably sing at the start, but as we sort of approach the end, you know, as we choose to worship, we should absolutely be shouting to the Lord as much as we leave here as when we come into this place and into our lives. So let's stand and worship together as we sing, My Jesus, My Savior.
Now may the blessing of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us and go with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Lord bless you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn.